Welcome everybody and good morning to Lake Berean Presbyterian Church. Today, if you didn't know, is Pentecost Sunday, which means it's our birthday. It's actually the day that we celebrate the birth of the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit to the church. God giving the Spirit to the church, and really in all of that, God was empowering the church to become witnesses to God's love and power to all people everywhere. It's like God was saying, okay, I'm giving this to all of you. Go and be my presence in the world. And that is like a great birthday gift. When the power of the Spirit falls on the disciples and they begin to speak and to testify to God's work in all different languages, this is what Acts chapter 2, verse 12 says. So they were all amazed and perplexed and asked one another, whatever could this mean? This is the exact right question all of the time, I think, for the church to consider, especially in these days. Whatever could this mean? What is God saying? What is God wanting us to know in this time? How might God's Spirit be moving? Today, we're going to talk about this with a wonderful conversation partner named Herman Zarate from Colombia. The Reverend Tally Harrison will be facilitating our talk today, introducing us to Herman and his work in Colombia, which is also a part of a longstanding partnership with the Seattle Presbytery. This is the Pentecost Spirit at work in a different place, different context, but the same Spirit.
Well, it's good to be with you, Herman and Pastor Lena, today, and we're grateful for the opportunity to do Pentecost
yes,
in the Pacific Northwest. And joining us all the way from Barranquilla, Colombia, is our dear friend, Herman Zarate.
yes.
Yeah. So thank you, Herman. Tell us a little bit, tell our church audience a little bit about yourself and the partnership that we've developed over the several years with the between our presbyteries. What do you want to share?
Well, my tradition as a Christian has to be that I was born in a Christian family. I'm a PK, preacher's kid. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot from my father and the importance of mission, especially with poor people, because of the work that my father was doing with farmers in the interior of this country, of Colombia. I began to do that because I was accompanying him in his mission trips since I was 12 years old. So later, when I had the opportunity to go to study theology and then sociology, I became to be more, mature in terms of what God wants me to do in my life. Hmm. How to dedicate my life in a way that I feel comfortable with the gifts that He was giving to me. And I had having the privilege from the Presbyterian Church of Colombia to lead different ministries related to the social work, tied, of course, to the spiritual practice.
Wow. And you're, as a part of this partnership between the Seattle Presbytery and the Presbytery of the Coast in Barranquilla, you've been a big part for my learning and so many pastors who have made the trip to learn, and you've been to Seattle on several occasions, and we've had the chance to enjoy kind of this wisdom that we find is really refreshing around the theology of Jesus and justice and accompaniment and being a part of we would call it incarnational ministry, right, Lena? The being able to be with and in communities. Herman, tell us a little bit about your work.
One of the things that I miss and I like to say that is that I was born in a city, not in the countryside. And because I have learned a lot from the people of the countryside. And the last times from those who was spelled out from their own homes, called displaced people. And because I learned a lot from them, in some way has justified my presence in working with the farmers. Mm-hmm. They don't know how much I have learned from them. Mm-hmm. And I tried to share with them the little bit that God has been giving to me through the diaconia. It's so important to share with people who have lost their hopes, that there is hope. But that hope that cannot come from outside, because the people also politically has been taught to depend from outsiders. How to develop faith and hope from their own places, making the people feel that they are people dignified, friend of the eyes of God.
Yeah.
Pastor Lena, that sound familiar? I mean,
yes.
One of the things me and Crystal realized when we, when Crystal went down to Benincia this past year, there were how much similarity in how we orient ourselves to the community beyond, mm-hmm. beyond the church.
Yeah. I definitely, Herman, I just love how I was sitting here and I was counting how many times you said learning from, how much that is a part of just the way that you think about the community and the ministry, everything that you were saying. I think I lost count, because everything that you were saying was really about listening and learning from the people. So it warms my heart. And that, you know, this is the service, this is the work of the ministry completely.
Yeah. One of the things that Herman I love about both Brother Herman and Pastor Lena is both of you see Jesus in justice, and the work that you're doing is Holy Spirit infused. Mm. Right? The Spirit of God is present in that space, right? Whether we are in the Campesinos or in Berrien, whether we're in wherever we find ourselves, right? That there's this Holy Spirit presence. And Pastor Lena, you called out some of that in the opening to our time today through your prayer. Share with us a little bit about, or more about, how kind of the power of the Spirit is working in Jesus and justice. Like, it's not a separate thing, right?
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about I think this is what happens often, is that we forget that this is God's work, right? That the idea of justice and transformation and, you know, renewal, this is God's work to do. And God then gave us the privilege of being part of that work. And the way that God has given for us to do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we cannot do any of this work without a deep, deep dependence and connection and a filling of the Spirit of
God.
Because there's a lot of good things that are happening that are justice oriented, but it lacks in many times that transformational renewal and the sustaining power of it. And this is what I think the Holy Spirit gives us, and why I'm so excited to talk about this on this day in particular, in Pentecost Sunday. It's the reminder to the church that God, that this is, belongs to God, and God entrusted the church to continue the work.
Edmond, do you see your work as like spirit-filled work? Is that in our relationship in the presbytery, we've had the opportunity to visit people who were in some hard places, and you've been able to share with a lot of us on the kind of the nature of that work as spirit-filled work. How do you talk about that in Barranquilla? How do you talk about that in Colombia?
I would say the only way, not only to feel that we need something to work with the people, is what protects me. Because we have receiving threats.
Yeah.
I have received two times death threats from those who wants to kill the farmers. Mm. And they have been telling me to not be protecting them. You can go to your home and stay at your home, but you don't need to be risking your life here. Mm-hmm. And we say, hey, I'm sorry, but I want you to understand that I am Christian. And because I'm Christian, I work for justice. And because I work for justice, I'm trying to tell you that these people, the farmers, deserve good life. The only way to find a new world is when the people talks about the necessities that each one has and the possibility of solutions for those needs. The problem is when these people say to me, I have an order and I have to accomplish the order. And I say, are you a Christian? And they say, why do you ask me that? And I said, because I believe in Jesus Christ. And the only one who give me orders is God. Mm-hmm. And God tells me that he is love.
Well, Pastor Lena, one of the things that we see in Acts 2, right, when the Spirit comes, is these reordering of relationships that Hermann is talking about.
Yes.
Right? That his work is to both protect the marginalized, to be present with them,
yes,
but also invites people, right, into a completely new relationship, a reordering,
yes,
of relationships. And we see that in Acts chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 4.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is the work. Sometimes as Christians and as the church, sometimes we forget that the whole idea of God's and sending Christ is actually to reorder, to bring and to witness to a different kingdom kind of ordered way of living. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think in some places, especially when things... maybe in some communities in the U.S., we don't feel the need to have to reorder much because everything is good. You know, there's so much of, there's a lot of places where the need to reorder for the sake of simple things like healthcare, you know, all those things, we don't have to reorder because our lives are comfortable, but you pull out some of those security things and then you begin to realize something needs to change in order to care for the people who are the most vulnerable. And so, and are not secure. Their lives are not secure. They're not secure in many ways, but economically, physically, people are not safe. But if we don't understand that the kingdom of God and the Spirit of God has given to us a new way of thinking about ordering life and ordering relationships, then there's no need to depend on the Holy Spirit if we don't see the need to do that.
Yeah. It's a very interesting moment to understand that the ministry of diaconia goes farther than just help the people.
Yes.
It's also to understand the political and the government system where we are and how the injustice has different faces that we sometimes do not pay too much attention.
I don't like that all the time. Right. Let me you know, play kind of an advocate here of something we often hear. And that is that, well, Christ came to save me. And as long as I'm fine, and as long as I'm not doing wrong, then everybody should be okay. My faith is good. Mm-hmm. What do you two think about that? I mean, there are people who we're sharing this with who may have that thought, right? It's not about systems, evil systems. It's just get your, if everybody would just believe Jesus, we'd be okay.
Well, true, right? Mm-hmm. If everybody did believe Jesus, we would be okay, because then everybody would believe and see that the ministry of Christ was not just about a personal transformation. The ministry of Christ absolutely exposed evil in systems. And so, and you know, some, one could argue that that's eventually what got him to the cross, was the threat of the of that kind of transformation that he was talking about. Yeah, I think that it's really heartwarming to hear, Herman, the way that you're speaking about the work, because I don't think that shalom, in the biggest, broadest sense, is peace and justice, not just, I mean, for all people. Mm-hmm. Yes. This is God's heart, is peace and justice for all people. And that requires, yes, you know, look at the evil that is keeping peace and justice from all, yes, people. Yes. And that's not an individual thing. That is definitely the way that we function together in a community. Who makes decisions? How are people being policed? How does money flow? All of those things that make a community, all of those kinds of things is why, you know, an individual conversion stops short. Or only thinking about the gospel in that way actually works against shalom for all people.
Herman, what do you think about that? What comes to your mind?
Well, I was thinking also how to relate with the present moment that we are living, mm-hmm, in the whole world. My question is, what God is trying to tell us, mm-hmm, especially when we see no many cars in the cities, the air is getting better.
Better.
Vegetations looks happiest. the color of the oceans are coming back.
Wow.
The pollution is trying to get out. So what the people who has been living, that has been objective of the injustice, needs in terms of what is happening today. What I have found is something that I'm learning in talking with my friends here has to be with anxiety. Mm-hmm. Because we are also connected with a culture who wants to have the future assurance. And what future can we assurance with the coronavirus? Mm-hmm. and it has a lot of meaning when Jesus says that don't be so worried about what is happening tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's enough with the things that you have today.
Yes.
And he gives the example of the nature and the birds and everything.
Yeah.
So I have in my own reflection thinking, how much time do we lost thinking, planning, what are we going to do tomorrow? When the things of today are those who are important. And it's a call of attention to our faith. Mm-hmm. If we really believes in God, that is, God is the owner of the life.
Preach, Herman.
He will take of our future. The only thing that I have to do today is what I have to do. So in this case,
wow,
I haven't seen the danger that I had been confronting and the possibility to lose my life. I don't think of that. Mm-hmm. I think in the necessity that we have to take care of other of people who has not possibilities of a better opportunities. Mm-hmm. And that's all. That's all. And I have to say that I have been blessing in my own life, with my wife, with my children, with my friends, in my work. I have 55 days in my house, mm-hmm. but I really have to say that I have enjoyed it. Because we have discovering that other uses of technology to be close to the people. But what about the people who do not have these possibilities of connection? Yeah. What is happening with them? I have weekly one day to go out, one day that I can go to the bank, one day that I can go to buy, to shop things for my house. Or if I have to go to doctor, I have to put those dates on those days. But I have been using also to visit some of the people who are in need. Mm-hmm. And you can't imagine the happy face they have when they see that we are concerned, that we are thinking in them.
Yeah, I don't think that we fully understand sometimes, and I think this has been a learning thing for so many of us who have been to Colombia, is when Herman talks about the diaconate, he's talking about a ministry of presence to those who have been marginalized
in
society, and those are the farmers in that context. And Lena, as we kind of bring this portion of our service to a close, this is being able to do Pentecost with someone on the other side of the world and the other side of the space is really a blessing. Mm-hmm. And though neither one of us would have said, like, in planning for Pentecost Sunday, right, that this is where we thought we'd be. Mm-hmm. But the virus, right, puts us here.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is, you know, I think, Herman, when you started talking, or when, as you were speaking, the one question that I was kind of captured my attention, because I've been thinking about this also, is what is God saying to us? Mm-hmm. What is God doing in this moment? And while the virus is what it is, I also believe that it's an opportunity for us to, God is trying to show us something about who we are as the church, and about how we show up in the world, and about what is our place, as you said, to accompany people who are marginalized, you know, to be partners in justice, all those things about the word that we take, the word that we're used to taking is that word deacon, which has been sort of limited to just service, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is what I think Herman was saying. But I think what we're talking about here, what he've offered, is for us to think about that the role of deacon is a much broader picture of the church. How does the church be deacon in the mm-hmm. world? How does the church be present to come alongside and accompany, especially those who are, you know, marginalized, who are poor, who are being sinned against every day? How does the church be deacon in that space and in this time?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much, Herman. And Please tell your lovely wife, Teresita Bustamante,
that, good job.
that we said hello from the Seattle Presbytery and our sister church.
Thank you.
Please tell everyone we love and appreciate them, and we hope they're watching this. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Edmond, will you do?
Thank you very much, Lena. Thank you very much, and Tali.
Edmond, do us one favor. In your heart language, will you pray for us?
Gracias, Dios, por la oportunidad que nos das de servirte. Bendice a los afectados por la pandemia. Bendícenos a nosotros que queremos servir para tu reino. En tu nombre oramos. Amén.
Amén.